We return to our reading together of the Lord's Word, Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female, and of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and his female. Also of the birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean and birds and everything that creeps on the ground, there went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened, and the rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark, they and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah, by twos of all flesh, in which was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. And the water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. And the water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind, of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark. And the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Genesis 7:5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Before Easter, we considered the fact that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In this morning's reading, we see that Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. This is an important truth that must be at the heart of our every activity on this earth. Because we love God, we are to be seeking every avenue of doing only those things that He commands us to do. Please keep in mind that we are not saved because of what we do. We are not loved of God or by God because of the manner in which we conduct ourselves out from any sense of self-righteousness or self-holiness. Of ourselves, we bring only filth and degradation to the throne of God's holiness. The only manner of pleasing Him is as we live forth by the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in complete line with His Word. Our every ability to honor God is set absolutely in the life of Jesus Christ, who now is our life. We desire to honor God because Christ now lives His life forth from us unto others. In all truth and practical application, His life is always and forever in complete and perfect accord with what will please the Father. Please consider what the writer to the Hebrews tells us about Noah in Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Notice several key aspects that may be easily overlooked. First, it was by faith that Noah could do all that God commanded. He trusted in God to make every provision for his own obedience. It was a complete act of faith in the Word of God that enabled Noah to obey and to accomplish what the Lord directed. This is something that sadly many of us seem to forget. We get ideas in our minds of what God wants, and then we march forward to do a great work for the Lord in the power of our determination and our feeble abilities to perform. We try to make things right and in accordance to our understanding of the issues and how we think they should be resolved. We put forth our concept of holiness and godly vindication, accusing and judging and even threatening holy retribution on those who get in our way. It would have been very easy for Noah to condemn and to put the blame squarely on his neighbors and acquaintances. He could have ascended the mountaintops and declared the might and the righteous wrath of God. But then he wouldn't have had the energy and the time to do the work that God gave him to build the ark. Rather, Noah, trusting in the sovereignty of God, trusting in God's faithfulness, and trusting in God's perfect plan of operation, did all that God commanded. And this is the other point of this passage in Hebrews. Noah, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. In reverence, Noah faithfully obeyed the Lord. As he was building the ark, as he was sweating under the laboriousness of that difficult task, being more than 500 years old, as he was enduring the taunts and the abuse of those onlookers, as he was toiling with all the difficulties of loading the ark in preparation for those long days afloat, as he was making every lowly provision necessary in dealing with all those animals, he reverenced the Lord. This is only possible because Noah had a tremendous appreciation of who God is. Noah knew that the Lord deserved all honor and adoration in even the most basic and menial tasks. So often, we tend to think of God in reverence only in those things that are big and mighty and spiritually apparent. We look at only the laboring that we classify as for the Lord as worthy of every consideration of God. But that was not the case with Noah. In even the most basic and fundamental chores of preparation, he held God with reverence in his heart. We are not told that he complained and grumbled. We do not read that Noah being hesitant and argumentative. We do not have it recorded that Noah stubbornly resisted and was disgruntled and mumbled and muttered as he begrudgingly did the dirty and lowly tasks at hand. What we are told is that Noah, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. It was his heart of service to God in the every detail of the task that God gave him to do. Noah thought about God and venerated him in his heart as he daily did that which was tediously necessary in preparation for the fulfillment of the Word of God. This is a matter as to how we regard the work that God gives us to do. It makes no difference if we are to stand before the multitudes and declare His name, or stay at home, teaching our children of His grace and His mercy and His love. It matters not whether we are on the front line of intense spiritual combat, or tending the pus-filled wounds and emptying the bedpans of the infirm. Everything God gives us to do, we need to do with reverence unto Him in our hearts. No task is too small or insignificant or lowly for our consideration of the greatness and the majesty and the splendor of our Lord God Almighty. The key to this entire consideration is that we fully obey and complete the entire work that God has given us. We must do everything with humbleness of spirit and contriteness of heart to complete the course of God's instruction to us. As we read concerning the setting up of the Lord's tabernacle in Exodus 39:32, as well as verses 42 and 43, thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed, and the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. So the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it, just as the Lord had commanded, this they had done. So Moses blessed them. God would not accept just the bare minimum that He required. Everything had to be accomplished exactly as He laid forth in order for His Shekinah glory to indwell that tabernacle. Moses gave the direct instructions as to the proper and the precise manner in which the tabernacle was to be constructed. He oversaw all that the people did with precision and with the critical eye to make certain that everything was done exactly in accordance with the specific details required. Then note, once the work was done, and Moses inspected it and was satisfied that God would be completely pleased with it, Moses blessed the people. This is a direct result of coming to the work of God with a heart that seeks only to bless Him with every fiber of our being and our skill and our effort. When we so seek to bless God, we will find that we are blessed in measure beyond understanding or capacity to contain. He blesses us to overflowing with the splendor of Himself. As we read in Psalms 119, 1 through 6, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. Thou hast ordained Thy precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep Thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all Thy commandments. We are given a view of the commandments of the Lord that sees them not as onerous and stifling, but as precious and pure and the very essence of life itself. He blesses us with His Word as He opens it in our hearts and our minds and our beings through the ministry of His Holy Spirit. Even Jesus experienced this wonderful blessing of pleasing the Father in completeness, as we have recounted for us in Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him, and after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him, and behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is of tremendous importance for us to comprehend. When our lives manifest that complete love for God in such a manner as to only want to do those things that please Him and that are the course for the life that He has laid out for us, we will find ourselves fully enjoying the communion and the fellowship of God's blessing. We will know the very countenance of God upon our lives, being pleased with the result with which the sacrifice of His only begotten Son has accomplished in you and in me. It is no small thing to know that God delights in our willing walk with Him as His beloved on this earth. Jesus tells us of this unique relationship with God in Luke 8, 19 through 21. And His mother and brothers came to Him, and they were unable to get to Him because of the crowd. And it was reported to Him, Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But He answered and said to them, My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. In Jesus, as we hear and as we obey the Word of God, we are made part of the very family of God. Keep in mind that we are not made to be gods unto ourselves. We are incorporated into the very family of God by virtue of being found in Jesus Christ. Our obedience and our following of His Word is based on the fact that we so love God that we only want to do that which will honor Him. That we do through the power and the strength and the grace and the mercy and the provision of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is further reinforced by Christ as He tells us in John 8:28-29. Jesus therefore said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." This is the core of what our lives now are in Jesus Christ. By virtue of His indwelling us, we too are to find that we only do those things which we are taught and directed by God in our lives. Just as Christ only did that which was pleasing to His Father in heaven, so are we only to do that which pleases our Heavenly Father. This is what is part and parcel of being incorporated into the family of God. What was impossible of our own accord now becomes the very fabric of our lives in the fact of Jesus living His life in us. It is a growing process for us as we learn to honor the Father by our obedience. The more we obey, the more we honor Him. We are taught and directed and given the faith to obey and to please Him by His Holy Spirit's operating work in our lives. We learn obedience as we obey. And in that obedience, we honor Him with reverence in our hearts. This is the course of our instruction as the disciples of Christ. It is just as Jesus taught by His actions and His words in John 13:14-17, when He humbled Himself to wash the feet of His disciples. "If I then, the Lord and Teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Our lives are to be the living testimony of our teacher, our Lord, our Master, our beloved and perfect Savior. As we so hold Him with reverence and with appreciation and with love in our hearts, so will our conduct and our behavior evidence His life fulfilled on this earth. The Apostle Paul highlights this for us in Philippians 2:5-8. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We are daily called to the death of self. That the life of Jesus Christ can shine forth ever more fully and completely and clearly and beautifully through the sacrifices of our wants and our desires and our thoughts of what should or should not be. Rather than trust our wits and our comprehension, we reverently trust God in His every direction in our lives. This often leads us on the road of suffering for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as it was the road that He had to travel. Because of that, we should not be surprised when we face the fiery torments and tribulations of this realm. Rather, we should see them for what they are, the means by which we learn to trust and to obey God with honor and with praise in our hearts. As we are encouraged by the writer to the Hebrews as regards our Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 5:5-8, so also Christ did not glorify Himself so as to become a high priest. But He who said to Him, Thou art My Son, today I have begotten Thee. Just as He also says in another passage, Thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of His flesh, He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Why would we expect anything different in our walk on this earth? The servant is not greater than his master, and we certainly and most assuredly are not greater than Christ. If he learned obedience by his suffering, so should we welcome and anticipate the same as we reverently seek to do all that God commands for us, doing it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So be it. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Amen.